Maureen, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Nice to have you back on the show with us. This Red Sox team, my goodness, three last place finishes in 4 years, and I think most Red Sox fans just wanted this team to be competitive, and they certainly have that. But did you see this coming, this team that's been so much fun to watch through the first couple of months of the season?
You're right. They have been a lot of fun, and I think, you know, the last couple of years, the last 2 years, and as you said, three out of the last four, it was like, oh, boy, where do we start with this team? It's so bad. There's so many bad things to talk about. And now it's, where do we start with this team? There's so many good things to talk about. I think we all knew or thought that they would certainly be better than they had been the last 2 years. I don't know if we really thought they were going to be this prolific with their offense anyways. But like you said, they're fun, and they're beating up on the teams that they should be beating up on.
David Ortiz has been otherworldly for a 40-year-old, but I wonder from your perspective, Maureen, is it the work of Ortiz and the veterans, or is it these young guys that really are providing the leadership and the inspiration?
Well, you know what? I think it's a little bit of both, actually. And I think it's a team that all the players, I think they know their roles. I think there's a mutual respect for each other within the clubhouse. I think they go out on the field and they know what they're each supposed to do. So it's not, you know, it's not like anybody's worried about somebody else trying to take his job or anything like that. I think there's a good mix of the veterans and the younger guys. And as we've seen in past, you know, young guys come up and they add a level of energy to the team. And I think we've certainly seen that with Jackie Bradley and Mookie and Xander and you know, all the young guys there. And then you have the veterans with Ortiz and Pedroia and Ryan Hannigan. And I think there's just a really good chemistry in the clubhouse right now. And I know people, you know, a lot of people will scoff that off. But I think out of any major sport, I certainly think chemistry plays a bigger part. If it plays a part at all, if you want to buy into that theory, I think it plays a bigger part in baseball than probably in any other sport, because these guys are together for so long. The season is so long, and it's an everyday thing from the beginning of February till the end of September or October if they go on. So I think they've certainly got a really good thing going right now.
Maureen, with the return of Eduardo Rodriguez and Joe Kelly being an imminent type of thing, how long do you think Clay Buchholz can maintain his grip on that rotation spot?
Well, that's that is a good question. And yesterday, John Farrell said flat out he's not taking him out of the rotation. But I think at some point you have to consider that. And I know, you know, there's been some talk about when Kelly comes back, does he go into the rotation? Does he go into the bullpen? And I think they would like to get Rodriguez at least two more starts with Pawtucket. I think they're trying to look at this rehab stint as like his real spring training, since he didn't have a spring training. So he had his fourth start on Saturday. I think they would like to get him two more down there. And right now they don't have to be in a rush to bring him up. You know, of course, if he's pitching well and they think he'll serve them better at the major league level than down in Pawtucket, they'll do that. But I think right now they can take their time with him. They don't, when they activate him, they don't have to bring him up. They can option him back to Pawtucket and leave him there and you know, let him sort of get his feet under him. I talked with a scout who was at the game the other day, and he thought it looked good. Didn't think there was any real hesitancy coming off the mound with the knee to kind of field his position or anything like that. But I think there are some things that, you know, the Red Sox would still like him to kind of, you know, polish off some of the rough edges. So I think they're in a good spot right now where they don't have to rush him back. But, yeah, as far as Buchholz, I would like to see him, you know, kind of turn something up a little bit there. I think he needs to feel some sense of urgency. You know, we've all said for years, oh, he's got the stuff. You know, at what point do you kind of say, okay, he's got the stuff, we can't harness it. I think he needs to feel the urgency.
I think for a lot of Red Sox fans, perhaps myself included, every time he goes to the mound, I have to look away. It's like watching a pileup on the Southeast Expressway. But out there in the rest of baseball, Clay Buchholz still has some value. People remember the success he's had. So does he have some trade value remaining if they chose to go that route?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he is a starting pitcher, and there's always value there. And, you know, if a team, an organization thinks that they could match him up with the right pitching coach and you know, kind of harness what he has, you know, I think he certainly has some value. He can be tremendously frustrating, and I think if you talk to anybody in any other organization, they're going to acknowledge that too. But certainly he has trade value.
We're talking with Maureen Mullen here on Downtown. Remarkable start to his final season for David Ortiz. Do you think there's any chance, if this were to continue, that he might reconsider or that management and ownership would reach out and say, yeah, how about one more year, Poppy?
I know, and at this point, why wouldn't they say that, and why wouldn't he think that? I've kind of, you know, jokingly off and on since spring training said, oh, have you changed your mind? I've said it to him a couple of times, and every time he says, nope, this is it, this is his last season. And you know, you can kind of understand that. I mean, what he goes through in the off season, what he goes through every day just to sort of maintain his body and get ready and go, you know, to go through the rigors of 162-game schedule. It's not easy, you know, considering he's had the injuries in the past with the Achilles and things like that, and there's a lot of maintenance work to be done on a 40-year-old body. But yeah, if he keeps hitting like this, I mean, you know, why not? But you know, on the other hand, if he has mentally kind of flipped that switch that says this is it, you know, he may be going out saying, okay, we're going guns a-blazing, and I'm going to give everything I've got, and you know, he may want to go out on top rather than, you know, come back for another year, and maybe he doesn't do as well. But, you know, it is interesting. You look at what he's hitting now, and you figure, you know, he had that stretch back from 03 to 07 where he finished in the top five and, you know, MVP voting every year, and he hasn't been as close since then. And you look at now, wouldn't it be ironic if he goes out in his last season and wins the MVP and retires?
Is it kind of a perfect storm for this team with their outstanding start to the season at a time when age seems to have finally caught up to the Yankees. The Rays can't generate a whole lot of offense, and the Blue Jays, despite all that offense, can't string together two good starts in a row. It seems that maybe the Red Sox and Orioles by early June could separate themselves from the field a little bit.
Right, yeah, it does seem like that. You know, the Yankees certainly have had their share of injuries already this year, and for the guys who haven't been injured, you know, just the eyeball test says that, you know, they're certainly slowing down. So yeah, I mean, this could be just sort of the perfect storm of circumstances for the Red Sox. You know, and the Orioles look just as good. I mean, they can hit the heck out of the ball. And, you know, you wonder after what happened yesterday with the Blue Jays and Rangers if that might light a fire under them. Sometimes that kind of, you know, brings a team to a cohesive point. But no, you're right. I think this does allow them to have that time to separate themselves. And, you know, with the way they've been playing lately, it certainly seems like they could. I don't know if they're going to keep up their pace of, hit, you know, scoring 10.5 runs a game. That seems a little unlikely, but who knows?
Now, maybe that could be a selling point to lure in Bautista as a free agent next year to say, listen, if you come here, we got guys who will protect you in a brawl.
And, you know, I don't know if there would have to be a whole lot of selling going on for Jose Bautista to come to the Red Sox. I think he likes hitting at Fenway. He certainly hits well there. You know, and if a team that looks like it's got a chance to win, I think that would certainly be an enticement. But, you know, there's other things on the bottom line, too, that all free agents will consider.
Well, we can make that happen, too. We'll do a little fundraiser here and see if we can,
yeah,
see if we can muster
a GoFundMe page, right?
Exactly, yeah. Maureen, it's always a delight for us to talk. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.